Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic Bee Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and you can also visit our website at www.theorganicbee.com. If you have any questions for our guests, there are many ways you can contact the show. You can post a question on our wall on Facebook, Skype us, send us a tweet on Twitter to @TheOrganicView, or you can contact me directly at June Stoyer. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@TheOrganicView.com. In March, the European Commission voted on a proposed 2-year suspension of neonicotinoids after the European Food Safety Authority, otherwise known as EFSA, deemed their use an unacceptable risk. However, it failed to pass due to support from major nations such as the UK and Germany. In an effort to stifle the ban, the agrochemical companies have launched a multi-million dollar campaign, which includes social media, videos, and even to go as far as having coloring contests in local schools. The Corporate Europe Observatory is a Brussels-based research and campaign group, the nonprofit organization which works to expose and challenge the privileged access and influence enjoyed by corporations and their lobby groups in the European Union policymaking. In this special series called The Neonicotinoid View, my guest co-host Tom Theobald and I will be joined by David Sanchez from the Corporate Europe Observatory to discuss the recent leaked memos from Syngenta and Bayer, which reveal the furious lobbying against European Union measures to save bees. So I would first like to welcome to the show my special guest co-host, Mr. Tom Theobald. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hello, June.
And our guest today, Mr. David Sanchez. Good afternoon, David, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
David, could you please tell our audience a little bit about yourself and your organization?
I'm currently researching and campaigning for Corporate Europe Observatory, especially on the role of agribusiness here in trying to influence EU policy. And, well, that's the case, for example, of neonicotinoids that we are going to speak about, but also on GMO policy, agrofuels, and, well, everything related with agribusiness here in Brussels.
Thank you. David, why did your organization get involved with the issue of neonicotinoids?
Well, there is an ongoing battle at European level because the bee debate has been a really hot issue in media and in political agenda. And, well, we were fearing about this lobbying campaign that was undergoing. And, well, we made some access to information requests. And we got really interesting information regarding lobby tactics and how harsh the campaign is being in order to block these measures the European Commission is proposing to do a partial ban on the use of neonicotinoids.
Thank you, David. Can you tell our audience a little bit about the situation that has been ongoing since the vote? What has been the atmosphere, especially in Europe, and as well as with the activist groups and other groups that are involved, especially the beekeepers, so on and so forth?
Yeah, what we are facing now in this stage of the European... in this moment of the European decision process, now all the lobby is being focused on national states, member states. So now industry is lobbying at that level, and they are running quite expensive PR campaigns, like trying to promote themselves as the savior of bees, and trying to run and propose projects to monitor bee health and how to control the damage that their insecticides are doing. The next vote, and the final one, is likely to be to happen at the end of April or the beginning of May. And this is a big lobby fight that is taking place. And we know that some member states are thinking now about changing the way they voted in March. That was the first vote. But let's see what happens.
Here in the United States, we have something called the Freedom of Information Act that allows us access to things that otherwise they might not like to share with us. I'm curious how you were able to obtain these leaked correspondences and whether or not there's been any pressure applied on your group because you've revealed them.
Well, we have the law here should be quite similar So we made this request. The only thing we that was denied for us was the name of the people writing the letters. So there was a lot of things erased. But at least we can read the content, and we can we are able to publish it and expose it. We got an answer from Syngenta today, defending their right for freedom of speech, and the way they think they are legitimized to challenge decisions that EU takes and that they think are not accurate. So yeah, we had access to several letters that either Syngenta and Bayer sent to the European Commission and member states, and also some correspondence between Syngenta and our the European Food Safety Agency, that is playing the role that the EPA is playing there, even threatening them to take legal action if they don't change the way they their opinion was sent to media about the impacts of neonicotinoids on bees. So it's really aggressive lobby that we have found out thanks to this freedom of information request.
David, could you share with our audience some of the detail of these memos to demonstrate just how serious their efforts are getting this proposed ban stifled?
What we have found is that, at the beginning they start, they advocate, as they always do, on science-based decisions. But when the scientific regulators, in that the case of the European Food Safety Agency, give their opinion and they don't like it, then they start complaining about them, and they even threaten to take legal action. Syngenta had access to the press release that the Food Safety Authority was sending before it was sent, and they tried to change it, and they had been pushing a lot of pressure on the Food Safety Agency in order to change the messages that they are sending to media. When the director rejected to change the statement in the press release, Syngenta has been threatening to take legal actions against her and other people that didn't want to change the messages. So, what we can see in this story is that industries only like science-based decisions when science is on their side, and when it's not, they will use any mean to try to change that and to discredit independent science.
David, isn't it correct that by law, if there isn't a weighted majority achieved to oppose the ban, that the European Commission is required by law to follow through on what the European Food Safety Authority has recommended? In other words, there are certain criteria which must be met, or the precautionary principle takes precedence. Isn't it correct that if there is not a weighted majority to oppose the ban, that the ban will be imposed by the European Commission?
Yeah, that's right. If industry cannot find a blocking majority rejecting the ban, the European Commission can approve it anyway, although there is no qualified majority pro. So we hope that this blocking majority will not be achieved, and that the European Commission will go for the ban.
Do you have any indication as to where it stands? Is it likely to be blocked?
Well, in the first vote, there was no qualified majority against or in favor of the proposal, and we don't know what's going on at the member state level, because a lot of pressure is being put on environmental and agriculture ministries in different member states. So, but we hope that and we expect that finally there will be at least a majority for the ban at the European Commission will do it, as they have been stating in media recently. So hopefully we will have at least a partial ban on the use of some neonicotinoids here in Europe.
When will that decision be made?
This vote will be by the end of April or beginning of May, and the ban, if it is approved, it will start this summer, the 1st of July.
Thank you.
Can you please expand upon the section on your website where it can be found on your website, which is corporateeurope.org, where you talk about Syngenta and an extremely aggressive letter to EFSTRA?
Yeah, but we had access to a series of letters interchanged between Syngenta, a law firm, and the European Food Safety Authority, in which they were trying to change EFSA's press release before it was sent to media, because the European Food Safety Authority stated in their press release that these neonicotinoids were posing a risk to bees, and therefore some measures should be taken. Syngenta finds that this is excessive, and that the agency is going beyond their responsibilities and beyond the scientific opinion. And when apparently the EFSA's director decided not to reject it, Syngenta gave them a deadline that is quite unusual. I mean, industry shouldn't give deadlines to food authorities to change press releases. And when they couldn't manage to change it, they threatened with legal actions to all the people involved in the decision making of doing the press release. They made an access to information request, asking for all the minutes, every email interchange regarding the press release. They even asked for handwritten notes on these meetings. And the words that they use to EFSA director to ask for explanation is really, they were really trying to bully her, to intimidate her in order to change the way EFSA is dealing with this issue. We find a lot of hard language, trying to find culprits, and we think that the European Food Safety Authority still lacks some independence controls, and the way they deal with conflicts of interest in some panels is still, they definitely need to improve it. But this way they stand the pressure, and although the pressure has been really, really hard.
Thank you. The UK, Germany, Finland, and Bulgaria, and Estonia abstained from supporting the ban. Do you have any supporting documentation from any of these countries that also demonstrate the same with the chemical company's influence over anyone of importance in those countries?
Well, we have not so much information about what has been going on in member states, but at the European level and also in member states media, there has been a really hard campaign. Like a scaremongering campaign advising of the heavy impacts that will have for Europe and for European agriculture in case these neonicotinoids are banned. They are industries promoting an industry-funded study that states that Europe would lose millions of euros if banning these neonicotinoids. They are claiming that corn production would be relocated in other countries if farmers cannot use seeds treated with neonicotinoids. So the pressure is being really, really high, and they have the support of big farmer groups. So we expect that despite all of this, these countries such as Germany, for example, that they have a lot of a lot of votes and a lot of power in EU decision-making process, would still vote for the ban this time and not abstaining like they did in March.
The alarm on crop failures and economic damage came primarily from a group called the Humboldt Forum for Food and Agriculture, which is an industry-funded agency. Could you comment on their recommendations?
Yeah. The Humboldt Institute, a research institution that is funded by BASF, Bayer Crop Science, Nestle, and it's supported by some of the most important farming lobby groups, such as COPA-COGECA and the European Seed Association. They funded this research that claims that Europe could lose more than 70 billion euros over the next 5 years if these measures were applied regarding neonicotinoids. They claim that there are a big potential of yield losses in some crops, like 30% from sugar beet or 50% in maize. And, well, all this data that Syngenta or Bayer are referring in their letters without saying the source, finally we found out that it was this industry-funded study that they are trying to promote also in media. So, yeah, it's that one of the classical lobby strategies of this scaremongering and, economic losses if EU policymakers doesn't follow industry recommendations.
The critics have charged that this study makes no allowance for the environmental damages being caused. Is that accurate?
Yeah, they focus on socioeconomic impacts that, of course, for there would be quite negative if the ban would be applied.
Thank you.
Can we talk briefly about the letter from Michael Mack, the CEO of Syngenta, that was sent to Commissioner Dalli? Can you explain the importance of that document and what he was trying to convey?
One of the documents we had accessed is a letter from Michael Mack, CEO of Syngenta, addressed to Commissioner Dalli, that it's in charge of health and consumer issues. Was in charge, it's no longer on the commission. In the letter, we could clearly see how they were trying to convince Dalli by speaking about the meetings with President Obama or with a meeting with the EU Council President or with French President Hollande, and also mentioning trying to highlight the amount of money Syngenta is spending in Africa and in developing countries. It's like a way of showing the Syngenta's commitment to development and food security, and after that they just complain about the economic loss that these measures would mean for them. So yeah, it's not really, it's really, really hard lobby strategy.
Do you have any estimate as to the amount of money that these corporations have invested in this lobbying effort?
Well, not at European level, actually.
Thank you. Can you share with our audience your organization and how people that wish to support your efforts to continue obtaining these documents and keeping the public informed about what truly is going on, how they can connect with you and also donate to your cause?
Well, Corporate Europe Observatory has put all the letters and all the information regarding this neonicotinoid debate and all the lobby letters in its website. That is corporateeurope.org. And, there is quite easy to find all the information regarding agribusiness and pesticides. We are an NGO, and you can get involved with us, like subscribing to our newsletter and to get more information. Follow by Twitter and Facebook, and help us spreading the word so we can finally challenge the power of these big corporations in the EU and get a ban on these neonicotinoids, so we guarantee that EU policy making is focused to protect the environment and beekeepers and not the big industry.
Thank you, David, and thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been very interesting learning about the different tactics as well as the efforts of your organization.
Yes, thank you, David. We face similar challenges here in the United States, so we're watching very closely what happens in Europe.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the invitation, and good luck in your fight there in the U.S.
Everyone, we are out of time. But thank you so much for tuning in, and if you've missed the show, you can always subscribe to The Organic View on iTunes or visit our podcast archives at www.theorganicview.com. Have a great day, everyone.